Well, Bob, I'll start with you. Bob, what is it that your company does?
Well, this is fascinating. What we do is we can take flue gas from any source. It doesn't matter whether it's coal, oil, natural gas, whatever. And we take the flue gas and we put it through these big tanks filled with algae, very special strain of algae. And the algae eats all of the carbon dioxide, the nitrogen oxides, the sulfur oxides. So what they only get out of that tank is photosynthesis oxygen, which is very high quality, and a very high grade of algae, which can be used for products such as everyone thinks about biofuel, but you can use it for vitamins and medicines and cosmetic thickeners and food supplements for animals. So it's a variety of different products, byproducts that the algae can be used for.
Now you're here in Edmonton because you're one of the 24 winners of the Grand Challenge Award that the CCEMC gave out. What are you going to do with this award?
This award really makes a big difference to us. We're sharing this. It's a joint effort between the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Sciences and High Tech Bio. The university will get about 300, we'll get about 200, but with the money, we can move this technology forward. We have a demonstration facility right now, but when you start scaling up, you run into issues that you just don't know. And this funding will help us scale up toward commercialization. And hopefully we'll win the next one, round two, with $3 million, and that will really push us directly into commercialization. So it's really, really a tremendous asset to us.
Now, Feng, you're with the University of Maryland. What part do you play in this award?
Okay, we have been working with High-Tech Bio for several years already. Some of the early work was funded by Maryland MIPS projects. So my role in this project is I kind of help company isolate the algal strains they're looking for. These algal strains can survive very high concentration of CO2 and also contain high lipid contents, which can be converted to biofuels. This funding is very important for us. As Bob said, it will push for the commercialization for the companies and allow us to, you know, demonstrate our technology that will work. There are also other scientists involved in this project from universities. They are not here. They are Dr. Russell Hill and Dr. Yantao Li. Both are in the same team. So they will brought in different kind of technology into this project.
Now you say that you're looking for the right kind of algae to make this thing really work. What would be some of the obstacles or challenges that you have to overcome?
Well, we were actually quite lucky. At the beginning, I thought, you know, these algae may not survive in the large bioreactors. That would be one of the contamination by other microbes, other algae, will be one of the major challenges. But it turned out to be, you know, these algae is really very tough, and they grow very well in the high-tech bioreactors. For algal strains, I think some of the challenges we probably will find out from this project, and what will be the highest biomass we can push for, so in the larger scale systems.
Bob, also thinking about challenges, from your perspective, what would you see as being some of the challenges your company has to overcome?
Well, first, let me give a little bit more credit to Dr. Chen. He's being awful kind. We started with 128,000 strains of algae, and most of the algae will die at 3 or 5% CO2. So he found a strain of algae that is just really hardy. And our system probably would not be as effective as it is if we didn't have that strain. And what's interesting about it is it was the first time that that strain had ever been isolated, so we got to name it, which is really cool.
What did you name it?
Well, being an engineer, we named it something very flamboyant like HTB1 for high-tech bio strain number one, and that's what it is. It's the official name. HTB1 is the strain. But answering your question, when you're growing algae in your pool, it's really easy, but there's all kinds of different strains in that, which is useless for an industrial, you know, need. We had to have a single strain, and when you start dealing with a single strain, if you run into any problems, they all die together. So that's one of the issues, and this is a very, very hardy strain. when you start scaling up, when you go from a small lab bioreactor, which is just basically a little tank with algae in it, you feed it food, nutrient, and light. When you start scaling those up to 5 feet, 10 feet, our bioreactors are now 4 feet in diameter by 20 feet tall. They're enormous. And when you start scaling up like that, you run into all little issues that you don't know is going to happen. We've been at it now for over four years. We've had this site, the demonstration site, operational next to a power plant, which we're actually taking the flue gas and mitigating the greenhouse gas. And you're running into small leakage problems, corrosion issues, things that you find out. And that's why this funding is really critical. Once we can get through this scale-up issue, then we start to go into the big buildings. And we're pretty close to doing that.
So is this something where down the road you could visualize plants having these bioreactors?
Yeah, absolutely. Power plant. Not only power plants, but coal-fired, oil, natural gas, biomass, which is what they're talking about now, methane-fired, any of those as a power plant. Landfills, where they generate methane from the landfill garbage. Wastewater treatment plants, where they generate methane from the municipal waste. All of those are sources that we can put our buildings next to, bring in that, not the methane, but the burned methane, you know, using it to burn engines to make electric. So we take the exhaust gas and put it into our bioreactors, and what comes out is just oxygen and algae. There's no venting of anything that comes out. It's really, really fantastic technology.
So now that you have the funding thing, how long do you think it'll take you to get things isolated and really get moving on the next step?
So the phase of the year one, we're going to be concentrating on the technology development in the laboratories, which including the technology that we will select for the strain that are more productive and can sequester higher CO2 and also produce higher lipid contents. So we're doing a whole bunch of high throughput selection. And my other colleagues, Dr. Russell Hill, will bring his expertise on harvesting technology. They can practice these harvesting very unique technology that based on microbacteria flocculation technology. And Dr. Yantao Li, he will test his enzyme conversion technology that will convert algal biomass directly to the biofuel. So this is the first year, and the second year we will be working closely with Bob, with Hitech Bio, to test all these technologies in the pilot systems with all these integrated together to see what kind of efficiencies that we can improve for CO2 uptake and how much we can reduce the cost for biofuel productions, bioplastic productions. And in the long run, we would like to see this technique getting materialized and we can use it in Alberta and other parts of the world.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, Bob.
You're quite welcome. Thank you very much.